Show of hands, who's heard of Teen Challenge in the room? Who hasn't heard of Teen Challenge? I'm going to talk to you individuals right there. No, we just want to say thank you for allowing us to come and to worship with you this morning. We definitely appreciate being able to come sing and testify of what God's doing in our lives. Teen Challenge is a 15-month full residential program for those with life-controlling problems such as drugs and alcohol, not limited to, though. Teen Challenge was founded over 50 years ago. Reverend David Wilkerson founded this ministry in Brooklyn, New York. He was in a prayer room trying to break through. He couldn't, and he opened up a Time magazine and saw a story of 9 youth in the city who had murdered a paraplegic kid for his tennis shoes. It was in gang wars. And, you know, he was so moved, he wanted to go talk to these youths, and he went to the courthouse, and they dragged him out. They wouldn't let him speak, and he never got a chance to talk to those kids, but he didn't stop there. He began an outreach ministry in Brooklyn, New York, that became the first residential program, Teen Challenge, and since then it's grown to over 9 centers here in New England, 150 in the U.S., and over 300 around the world in over 90 countries. And the work that God is doing through Teen Challenge isn't the cure. It isn't the end all. It's what's behind Teen Challenge, and what's behind Teen Challenge is Jesus Christ. I tell these guys all the time, it's not my goal or my vision to see anybody live a life of sobriety. You can do that without Jesus. That's not, people do it all the time. What we want to see is people set free from the grip of sin, from the bondage and the yoke of slavery that's on their lives. And when that gets addressed, then everything else gets addressed. You know, drug addiction becomes a byproduct. Anger becomes a byproduct. Resentment becomes a byproduct. And it's this core, this ministry that allows us to just worship Jesus, to just learn what he has said through his word and let that change someone on the inside rather than giving them the outside fix. And that's what you see, the testimonies of lives that you see before you here today. You're going to see testimonies of lives that were changed by what God has done. And not just on the outside, not superficially, but what he's doing on the inside. Amen. Once again, we thank you and appreciate the opportunity we have to share with you today.
Good morning, church. My name is Joe. I'm 29 years old. I've been in Teen Challenge for maybe 4 months and 4 days. Praise the Lord that I'm free from some of the chains that had me bound to the world for so long. For many years I was addicted to drugs. And there was an emptiness that was in me that I couldn't fill with anything. You know, the drugs weren't strong enough. The material things that I sought after weren't good enough. That emptiness, that hole, that void, that it was always there. And for a lot of years I tried to fill it with numerous different things. And nothing was good enough, like I said. And when I was at the end of my rope, when I thought that the only way out was to take my life, before I did that drastic measure, I cried out to the Lord and asked him, and I said, if you really exist, if you're really out there, if you can do the things that people say you can do, please help me, save me, do something with me. For so long I didn't have a purpose or a vision, a direction. I was just kind of wandering and flowing through life. And the Lord heard that prayer, that cry that I made to him. I'm a product of prayer. A close loved one and her home church, they have been praying for me consistently for 2 years that I would find my way to Teen Challenge, that I would come to know the Lord. And also he heard those prayers because it happened. Every direction that I tried to go in on my own, he put roadblocks in the way. He made it so that every road ultimately led to the doors of Teen Challenge, and thank God for that. Like I said, I've been here almost 4 months now, and the transformation that's taken place within me, within my heart and my mind, from 4 months ago until now is just mind-blowing. It's unbelievable the work that he can do when you're willing and when you seek after him diligently. Before I came in here, I didn't know anything about really Jesus or the Word of God or you know how to pray, any of those things. You know, and in the 4 months that I've been here, He's put such a fire in me and a passion for His Word, for His for understanding of His Word, how to apply it to my life. You know, being able to share with others, people like you, you know, congregations, you know, just how strong His strength, you know what I mean, how strong He is and the strength that He has to do the impossible. You know, He makes the impossible possible. I'm just blown away by the work that He's done within me, you know, and I'm excited to see where He's going to take me in the future. You know, all I got to do is just hold on, you know. When I was 4 days into the program, you know, it's a tough program, I'm not going to lie. It's difficult, you know, and there's some days where things, you know what I mean, seem bleak. And I was 4 days in, and I didn't want to commit myself to 15 months. I didn't want to do it. And one of the older brothers came to me, and he gave me a word of encouragement. He gave me a scripture, which I still stand on. You know, when I apply it to my life every day, it's ingrained in my heart. It's James 1, 2 through 4. It's the scripture I'm going to leave you with. It's, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever we face trials of many kinds. We know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so we may come mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Thank you for letting me share with you. God bless.
Morning, church. My name is John, 26 years old, grew up in Charlestown, Massachusetts. Before I came into Teen Challenge, I didn't really know anything about God. I knew of Him, was raised in a Catholic family, altar boy. My mother was a CCD teacher, but in hindsight, I think that was all just, you know, my parents wanted everything to appear like hunky-dory on the outside when, you know, on the inside of the house, there was a lot of turmoil. My parents did, like, the best they could with me. I left home when I was 16 years old to live, you know, to live life the way I wanted to live. Like Joe was saying, I try to find, try to fill the void in my life with material things, whether it's people, money, drugs, you know, and the hole just kept getting bigger and bigger. I became entrenched in sin. Fast forward a little bit, you know, I find myself, you know, homeless in the streets of Boston, living in shelters, a full-blown IV drug user. You know, that's not what I wanted to be in life. I went to private school most of my life, and, you know, my parents did everything they could for me not to become like, to be like that. You know, they wanted the best for me. You know, I've been called hopeless, a chronic relapser, been to rehabs 47 times. That's not counting, you know, further post-treatment facilities. Tried everything, medications, guided meditation, you know, the posh rehabs in Florida. My grandmother refinanced her house just to send me down there, and I just spit it back in her face. So, you know, I decided I'd try to do something different. You know, someone told me before I came in, like, if I still want to be in control of my future, I got a good reason to be afraid of it. And so I was like, all right, I clearly don't know what's best for me. Everything I turn turns to poop, pretty much. And so I took a leap of faith, came in a Teen Challenge, and I felt the love right away from the brothers in the house. When I'm not following Christ, everything I do is for me. I have a hidden agenda, and you know, I just want to please self. And I've learned so much since I've been here. I'm eternally grateful for this program. You know, God's restoring a lot of things in my life, and He's doing it quite rapidly, and it's almost frightening. My mom, you know, when she writes to me, I don't want to say she's been saved, but it looks like that's the path that God has for her. You know, she's writing little things, and, you know, it makes me want to cry right now. But, you know, that they're telling me that they see hope in me, and all my family's starting to, like, rely on God a little bit more and more. So it's awesome. So the scripture I'd like to leave with you today is Psalms 36:9. "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light."
Good morning, church. My name is Caleb Mahoney. I'm 17 years old. I think I might be the only teen up here in this area. You like that, Steve? So I'm just here to, you know, to share a little bit about my life, where I came from, where I am now, where I plan to go. My mother had me at the young age of 15 years old. She was just a baby having a baby. She did the best that she could with me. She tried to teach me respect, manners. She was raised by a Christian woman who feared the Lord all of her life. But she went through some stuff also. My mother didn't have an easy life, you know. So she had me at a young age. I had male role models in my life. My father left me and my mother when I was born. He is a heroin addict, and he's in jail right now. He gets out in a couple of weeks, I believe, which is, you know, a testimony in and of itself. So, you know, I was raised well. You know, I didn't really have a lot of stability in my life, though. You know, I jumped around from, you know, town to town, city to city. And, you know, my drug addiction began at the age of 11 years old. You know, I started smoking marijuana and drinking alcohol, trying to fit in with the older people. You know, trying to fill something within my heart. I didn't quite know what it was, but I know that I was longing for God. I know that now. You know, every time I tried to put something in, you know, inside of myself or grab a hold of something, I was really reaching for God, but I was looking to the wrong places for it. So over the years, my addiction had progressed to me abusing prescription drugs, drinking cough syrup, fighting, stealing, lying, cheating, all these things that I never, you know, thought I'd be doing. I found myself doing those things, and, you know, it breaks my heart today. You know, by the time I was 16 years old, I was in detox 4 times, and I was in another program out in Quincy. And the third time I was in detox in Brockton, I had the chance to come to Teen Challenge, but I said no. You know, I realized that I wasn't just saying no to Teen Challenge or my mother. I was saying no to the very God who was calling me and who knitted me in my mother's womb. And I said, no, I don't want you. You know, I was running away from him. I was scared of him. I was scared of the life that he had for me. And I didn't know why. You know, I think, I don't even know why. You know, I was a rebel without a cause. You know, I was running from God. And, but, you know, I went to a program out in Quincy, and I was supposed to be there for 3 months, but God gave me the boot off the program after a week. And, you know, that's a testimony also, because I was supposed to come to Teen Challenge. God wanted me here, but I said no. You know, so God said, okay, I'm going to let you go through some stuff. So he allowed me to relapse. He allowed me to, you know, hit rock bottom. And, you know, that was my breaking point. You know, I was so broken. I was angry. I was depressed. I was hopeless. You know, so I went back to detox for the 4th time, and, you know, my mom pretty much told me, said, you're going to Teen Challenge, and I was like, okay, I'll go, you know, but I wasn't just saying okay to my mother, I was saying okay to God this time. I surrender, I'll lay down my life, you can take it, it's yours. So I came to Teen Challenge on July 13th of 2011, and right before I came in, you know, I was in, you know, a hospital bed, you know, getting clearance to go back into detox, and my mother was on one side of me, my aunt was on one side of me. You know, my aunt told me, this is your time. You know, you've got to kill this thing or else it's going to kill you. And she was referring to sin, you know, sin in general, not just drug addiction or drug abuse, but just sin. You know, because she knows that it was taking a toll on me. And I believe that if God didn't save me at such a young age, I would be in jail or dead right now, because I was going down the wrong path fast. You know, but God chose to show grace, and he chose to show mercy. So I came to Teen Challenge, and every day, every single day, it's a struggle, you know. But I know that the joy of the Lord is my strength, and if I depend on him, you know, I can't go wrong. You know, even though it might not feel good at the moment, but today I know it's not about a feeling. It's about repentance, faith, and his glory. You know, giving him praise and honor in all that I do. And that's really what it's about. You know, iron sharpens iron in this program. You know, all these brothers behind me, I love them to death, and we grow together. And God uses them in my life every day. And, you know, so I'm so grateful for this program. And, you know, I know everyone behind me is. And I would like to give you folks an opportunity to become more involved. So I'm going to present to you our mailing list cards, or better yet, our prayer cards. It's a point of contact, for one. And also, if you fill this out, we pray for you folks every single morning. We have chapel every morning. And during that time, you know, all these guys are, you know, are praying. Teen Challenge develops prayer warriors. So we're trying, you know, to pray for you folks, because I know you pray for us. You know, without your prayers, we wouldn't be here. You know, you folks are praying for us even when we didn't know it. And, you know, we're all products of prayer. So if you folks could fill this out, outside there's a table, and you can see Dave Fletcher right there and Joe Arnold, or any of these men, and you can fill out a card as well. We have a book, 50 Years of Miracles, our 50th anniversary book. And if you fill out you know, a student sponsorship to sponsor one of these men or any of the other men who come into Teen Challenge, you'll receive this book. It's a book full of testimonies. And better yet, you'll be producing a testimony up on this stage, or someone who's coming in a changed life, you know, that you could cause, you know, by the power of God. And if the Holy Spirit leads you to do this, feel free. You know, Teen Challenge, we don't get help from the government. So we need help from the body of Christ, which is you folks. So I thank you so much for having us here today. And the scripture that I'm going to leave you with today is Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you so much, and God bless.
How you guys doing today? My name is Dave. I'm 42 years old, and I'm not a teen.
All right.
I just want to share with you guys a little bit about where my life came from, what my life is like with Christ in it now, and where I hope it, you know, to be going with Christ. My life was a mess. I was living in sin for so many years. I grew up with great parents that were there. My mother was a prayer warrior. But I always felt like at some point that something was owed to me or something like that. My mother died when I was 12 years old, and I always felt like I was robbed. I always thought that the Lord took her from me, which he did. He took her home, but at that age, I didn't understand, and I was mad at him, and I was angry. And I never really followed in what I knew was there. I knew he was always there, but I never followed. So I just continued living in sin after my mother passed away, and I was rebellious, and I got involved with drugs and crime and fighting and all these things, just living in sin. I came to Teen Challenge about 10.5 months ago. Right before coming into Teen Challenge, I was trying to put some things in my life together. I had been out of my kids' lives for quite a while. I had went through a horrible divorce. And I was trying to put some things back together. And I was in a battered state. And I was exactly where God needed to have me. So everything that I tried to put together, like the Tower of Babel, he would just smack it down. He's like, I got you where I need you. And I'm going to keep knocking it down until you realize and you cry out to me, you know, that I need to be in control of your life. So he kept doing that. And I did that. I cried out to him. And I'm like, listen, I understand, Lord. I see what you're doing. Take control of my life, because I can't control it. Every time I drive, I crash. I'm a mess. And that day, I gave the Lord. You know, I gave my life to the Lord. I came into Teen Challenge. When I first came here, it was kind of weird because you walk into the doors. I'm in a facility, you know, with a bunch of men, and all I feel is love. And these guys are loving on me, and you're kind of like, "Hey, guy, get away from me! I don't know, what's up?" You know, it was one of those things, but it was truly genuine. And throughout my whole life, even though I didn't walk with the Lord, I knew he had always been there for me. I could feel his presence. I always knew he was there. There was nothing coincidence. He was controlling it. And I felt this love, and I totally understood where it was coming from. It was coming from Christ. Right now, with the Lord in my life, I've learned so much about communing with him. And through communing with him and getting things straight with him, everything down here, it tends to straighten out, because that's what he does. He straightens it all out. I put him first. I told one of my brothers the other day that he's the top button of my shirt. When I get that top button right, everything else falls into place. And that's how I work every day really hard at trying to keep that focus on the cross, on Christ, and what he's done for me and for you and for all of us. And I try to keep that first in my mind, that, you know, everything that he did and gave up and did for me, because he loves me. I know that today I'm obligated. I used to walk around and go, man, that ain't none of my business. I don't care about that. But today I know the truth. I'm obligated to everybody in this room, everybody that I come across, because we are tied together. You know what I mean? We are all linked together. And I truly walk around in the love that Christ has given me. I have love for my brothers and sisters. I look at everybody as a brother and sister. I extend my hand where in my past life, because I'm a new creation today in Christ. In my past life, I wouldn't extend my hand. I didn't care. I didn't want to do any of those things. The Lord has brought me in connection and changed my heart, because I was a wretched man. I was a wretched guy, you know. And he's changed me totally. I had 15 years of not using drugs in my life. But I was the same guy. I was still wretched, didn't care, did all the same things, hung out with all the same people. And today, I'm a new creation. I'm actually a true creation through Christ, you know. I'm a different man. The things that I cared about before, I don't care about those things anymore. I used to love all the material things, money, things like that. Yeah, everybody likes to look nice. I like to look nice too. But you know what? The most important thing to me is the Lord and the lineup that we have, because my kids are back in my life because he allowed that to happen. He loves me and he wants me to be happy. So all I got to do is seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And as long as it lines up in his will, that he does all these things for me. He wants me to be happy. And I'm just so grateful to be able to be this new creation through Christ. I know how to love today. I know how to be a brother. I know how to be a father today. I didn't know how to do that. And the Lord has put people in my life. I got these guys behind me. And all the people that are in Teen Challenge that I deal with, I get to be around. I didn't know how to be a man. I didn't know how to stand up. Today, I operate and I'm constantly around men of integrity, strong men that walk in authority, walk in the victory of the Lord, you know? And I get to watch this and see what they're doing, and I can do these things, you know? And that's why I leave you with the scripture that I stand on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that's Philippians 4:13. Thank you so much for letting me share.
You know, God is good. And no matter how many times I hear, you know, these testimonies, it doesn't get old, it doesn't get stale. It's always fresh. You know, Scripture says that his word is like a living water. It's a stream that's fresh. And that's what's running through the lives of these men. And also myself, I came into the ministry of Teen Challenge July 5th, 2001. Broken. Actually, and you know what? The reality was I was broken, but I didn't realize it. I had this weird thing called pride and arrogance. And I really thought I was all right, and there was really nothing wrong with my life, despite being in multiple juvenile facilities. And the second I turned 17 to adult facilities, I thought that maybe if I just, you know, switched up the order in which I played my cards, that everything would end up working out in the end. I saw nothing wrong with the lifestyle I was living. I had a lot of hatred, animosity, just a very bitter individual. And God changed that. You know, God stepped in. You know, Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, despite who I was, despite everything that I had gone through, God stepped in. When I was 19, I was in Ash Street, and I got a letter in the mail. And the letter said, God has a plan for your life. I know you don't believe this, but God has a plan for your life. And the letter was from my dad, and I didn't believe that. I made a statement or a case worldview for atheism. I'm in the seventh grade in a biology class when the theory, quote-unquote theory, of evolution was taught to me as fact. And because of everything that I had gone through, even up to that point, I said, you know what, that makes sense, because there can't be a loving God in this world because of what I've gone through, because of the pain, hurt, suffering that I see in the world and individuals that I've known. There can't be a God. And I just needed a reason to believe that, to really believe that. And there it was. I grew up in my catechism, CDC. I kind of knew of God, knew of Jesus, but I didn't know him. And when I got that little groundwork in seventh grade to deny it, then I did. And I began to develop and shift and shape my worldview to that point, to where it wasn't just Jesus. It wasn't Buddha, Muhammad, anyone that you would come and profess that is a deity or had any divine care over this this world. I'd shoot it down. There was no way. It's not possible. And I read that letter, and the letter went on to say that this is the testimony that I give on choir on Sundays. And the letter was from my dad, like I said, and he was in the Teen Challenge program at the time. And he rattles off this 4-page letter of his story. The majority of it I knew. You know, my dad struggled with addiction. I grew up in a very nice house in D.C., and by the age 10, I watched everything just fall apart. You know, I watched my dad had tried to establish in life just completely get washed down the drain, all of his accomplishments and everything. And I said to myself, you know what? At least my dad has his life together. You know, I watched him struggle with addiction all through my teenage years. I seen him cop drugs from the streets that I sold drugs on. And, you know, you don't realize the effect that has on you, but in reflection over the years, you kind of see that, you know, that all adds up. And that's what I said. That's what I got from the letter. At least he has his life together. So about 6 months later, I found myself looking at a 5-year sentence. And, you know, my dad gave me a call and he said, Jonathan, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to go on the run till October, November. And I'll turn myself in. You know, I don't want to get locked up for the summer. I'll only do a deuce and a half. This was my great idea. It was a phenomenal plan in my mind. I thought it was great. You know, and he snickered and laughed, and he said, why don't you come to Teen Challenge? And I said, I'm not going there. I don't believe in anything you guys believe in. When I had gotten out of jail 6 months before that, I got a chance to go see my dad commence the program, and, you know, I thought the people were crazy in there. But I said, I'm not doing it. And he says, well, I might be able to get your sentence diverted. You know, so I started to do the math in my head. 5 years, 12 months. He lied to me. It's really 15 months. You know, and I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. He said, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to participate. You kind of just got to be involved. And I said, I could do that. You know? So I walked in the doors of Teen Challenge, thinking I didn't have anything wrong with me, thinking that everything in my life was all right. I had just gotten dealt a bad hand, kind of, and if I could shift and change some things in my life around, then, you know, I could make this whole thing work. And for about 2 weeks, I was the evangelical mission in Teen Challenge. You know, everyone was trying to get Chris Mello's son saved. And I listened to everyone. I listened to what they had to say, but none of it resonated. I had an answer for every statement that came out of anyone's mouth, and they would run to Pastor Lily. Pastor Lily, Jonathan said this, and he would say, go tell him this, and then they would come back, and I would say no, and then it just went on for about 2 weeks, and I was up in my room late one night with a good friend of mine to this day, and he said to me, Jonathan, you know what? It was about 1 a.m, and he says, you know what? I don't have an answer for your questions, but I do know that if you ask God to reveal himself to you, he will. You know, what are you going to say to that? I don't have an argument for that. So I said, yeah, okay. And, about 3 days later, I was in a chapel service. I didn't stand during praise and worship, didn't participate. I was in the far back row. And someone preached. I couldn't tell you who it was or what they spoke on. I wasn't paying attention at all. But at the end, there was an altar call, and I saw about 19 men, and that was pretty much the sum of the program back then. I saw about 19 men at the altar weeping. And I'd gotten to know, you know, these guys, and you know, 15-year heroin addictions, you know, 7 years crack cocaine. I mean, on and on and on. And having been, you know, involved in that lifestyle since I was 14, I said to myself, you know what? That's not the normal behavior of an addict. And I said, that right there doesn't make any sense. And I observed it for a little while longer. And I'm trying to make some sort of rational thought, because I like to, you know, I thought I understood everything. I thought I was wise and stuff at the old age of 20. And I'm trying to make a rational thought out of what I was witnessing, and it came to me, the little urge, and I kind of, as soon as it came, I just said it, but it was cocky and arrogant. It was, yeah, right, God, if you're real, reveal yourself. And I got this urge to pick up this Bible they made me carry around wherever I went. And I kind of brushed it off for about 10 minutes. And then I just reached over and picked it up. And I didn't flip through any pages. It just opened up, flipped it over, and it was right in the middle. Not a place you'd normally look first, but Lamentations 2:17. I mean, who looks in Lamentations? I did. Lamentations 2:17 says, the Lord has done what he has planned. He's fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. He's watched the enemy gloat over you and overthrow you without pity. And he will exalt the horn of your foe. That last line didn't really make much sense to me. I had to do a little research on it. But the Lord has done what he has planned. He has fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. And the first thing I thought about was that letter my dad had written me 6 months ago. I didn't have this outer body experience or anything. But I began to reflect. And just like that, I thought instantly of, you know, three times Two, definitely one without severe injury that I shouldn't even be breathing. And I, the whole time I thought it was me. I thought I was bulletproof or I was lucky. I've got so many friends today that are either dead or, you know, in jail. My best friend is, you know, since I tried to witness to him when I was 7 months in the program, he's in jail today. And these are the people that I knew, and I thought that I was just the lucky one the whole time. I thought that I was the better criminal the whole time, and what I saw right then and there was that it was the hand of God on my life. I saw God's hand, and it was as if my conscience had been awakened after so many years of searing. And I mean, if there was a video camera, I'd be embarrassed today, but I couldn't help but get up and walk down to this aisle. Like, tears are flowing down my face. I got snot bubbles. And I didn't know what was happening. I didn't understand. I just felt so much guilt and so much shame that I had calloused all of my life, and I had learned to shut off any type of emotion or feeling. I hadn't cried since I was like 15. And I the only place I knew to get comfort was at that altar. And I knew that this name of Jesus that I had been hearing about. And so I came down to the altar and I gave my life to Christ. People were trying to pick me up to say the sinner's prayer, like, we got to get it quick, you know. Quick, repeat these words and, you know, we'll seal it up. And I'm pushing people off me. And I'll never forget that day. I wasn't fixed. Everything just wasn't perfect. But I stepped outside and I'm looking at the trees, I'm looking at a fence, I'm looking at a dumpster. And it looked new. It looked fresh. And I never forget the dumpster. I'm looking at it. I mean, they made me stand in that thing and clean it for restriction. And I'm looking at this dumpster and I'm like, man, that looks just different. Like, I had a different view on it. And my life has never been the same since. Dramatically changed. And it was the program of Teen Challenge that had to deconstruct all of my behaviors, all of my thought patterns. You know, hey, look, let's look at what the Word says about these things, and to begin to reconstruct a new life in Christ. You know, the first scripture that we memorize is 2 Corinthians, and it says that he was in Christ as a new creation. The old is gone, behold, the new is yet to come. And that's where we differ than a secular rehab, because, you know, the first thing you do is you stand up and you say, hey, my name's Jonathan, and I'm an alcoholic. But you haven't taken a drink in 5 years or whatever. No. If we're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, that powerful word right there. Behold, stand in awe. Those are the words that he used during the original creation. In Genesis 1, behold, the new is yet to come. And so what you see before you today, you know, Caleb didn't mention it, but Caleb's been here for over a year now. This is not the kid that came into the program a year ago. But it didn't just happen. It didn't just magically take place. God had to work over time, a lot of things, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. What's going on in the lives of these men behind me? You know, they've been here 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, and God is working on them. It takes time, and he's beginning to crop up all of the rocks and all of the weeds out of the area so that the land would be fertile ground. I can't say it enough. I know we may look decent up here today. Some of us, anyway. But God has done a mighty work in the lives of these men here. You know, some of these guys have been here 2 months. And even that is not how they were when they came in. And there's a lot, you know, the work needs to be continued. And that's what God did with me, was I had to, and I was in a long plan in Teen Challenge, you know. But there was definitely things that needed to be worked out. And all I knew through that whole process was that Jesus was Lord, and that he saved my soul. And I just clung on to that with all that I had. And I let him do the work. So once again, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. It's just an awesome privilege to share what God is doing in our lives. Thank you.